All right, hey everyone, let's dive into something pretty fascinating today. It's felon voting rights.
Ooh, yeah.
It can be, let's be honest, a little controversial, and you seem really interested in getting to the bottom of this whole debate. You even sent over some great material for us to dig into. We've got this case brief and, oh, excerpts from the Supreme Court's decision in what's it called? Richardson v. Ramirez.
Yes.
It's a case that really gets into whether states can actually, stop people with felony convictions from voting even after they've like served their time.
Yeah, you know, what I find really interesting about this whole thing is that it brings up some really big questions about our democracy. You know, like who gets to be a part of making our laws
Right.
and why?
Yeah, that's a good point. So, okay, let's try to break down this Richardson v. Ramirez case, kind of like we're solving a mystery.
Okay, I like that.
The case brief sets the stage. California, back in the 70s, we've got our main characters, right? Three ex-felons, Ramirez, Lee, and Gil. They've done their time, finished parole. They're ready to like get back into society. But then, boom, roadblock. They're told they can't vote. And it's all because of the California state
I
constitution.
know, wild, right?
Can you believe that?
Yeah, and what's important here is that these guys, they didn't just sit back and take it, you know, they fought back,
Yeah.
saying that denying them the right to vote just because of their past was like totally against the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Oh,
It's
interesting.
almost like they're saying, hey, we did our time, we paid our dues, shouldn't we have the same rights as everyone else?
Makes sense to me.
Right.
So what happened? Did they win?
Well, hold on. This is where it gets good.
Okay.
The California Supreme Court actually sided with them.
Oh, wow. So that's it, right? Case closed.
You'd think so, but nope, there's a twist. This case, it goes all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh, wow.
And that's when things really get interesting.
So the Supreme Court, what they overturned the California decision.
They did.
Why? I mean, these ex-felons, they seem to have a pretty strong argument for, being treated equally.
It's a good question. To really understand that, we need to get into the head of the guy who wrote the majority opinion, Justice Rehnquist.
Okay.
He built his whole argument, like the core of it, around this part of the 14th Amendment, Section 2.
Section two. I don't think we hear much about that one.
Right. It doesn't get a lot of attention, but it's super important here.
Okay, I'm all ears. What's the deal with section two?
Well, basically, it says that states, they're allowed to take away voting rights from people convicted of crimes, and they won't get penalized in terms of how many representatives they have in Congress.
Huh. So it's like a weird exception.
Yeah, you could say that. And Rehnquist used this sort of loophole to say, look, the Constitution itself allows for taking away the right to vote from felons.
So he's saying it's right there in black and white.
Exactly.
But wouldn't that mean, like, the Constitution's okay with potentially having a whole group of people just completely shut out of the democratic process? I mean, that seems like it could have some pretty serious consequences, right?
That's a really good point. And it's something the justices who disagreed, they definitely brought up. But Rehnquist, he didn't stop there.
Oh, no.
No, he went even further.
Oh.
To make his point even stronger, he dug into the historical context. You know, he pointed out that when they were first putting the 14th Amendment together, denying felons the right to vote was pretty normal. Like he's saying, this is how it's always been done.
It's like he's saying, hey, this isn't some new crazy idea. It's like tradition.
Exactly. And to like really hammer it home, he even brought up a bunch of old Supreme Court decisions that upheld similar laws.
Ah, so he's like building this legal fortress.
Exactly. He's setting a precedent.
Okay. But wait, if the California Supreme Court saw things differently,
Yeah.
did anyone on the U.S. Supreme Court agree with them?
Oh, absolutely. You sent over those excerpts from the dissenting opinions, so the
Right.
ones written by Justices Marshall and Douglas.
Yeah.
And they bring a whole other way of looking at this. They thought this whole ruling was a big problem.
Really?
Yeah, they were not happy.
Okay, so what were they saying? What did they think was so wrong about Rehnquist's take on all this?
Well, Justice Marshall, he really had a problem with how much emphasis the majority put on Section 2.
Okay.
He was like, hold on, that was meant for a specific situation back then, like stopping states from taking away voting rights from black citizens after the Civil War.
Oh, right.
And he basically says that using it to, you know, limit the bigger idea of equal protection in Section 1 is like twisting the whole point of the 14th Amendment.
It's like they were picking and choosing from the Constitution to justify something that just feels, I don't know, off.
Yeah, exactly. And Marshall doesn't stop there.
Oh, no.
Oh no, he goes even further. He argues that taking away someone's right to vote forever, even after they've served their sentence, doesn't actually help the state in any way.
What does he mean?
He's basically saying it's just unfair, plain and simple. It's a clear violation of equal protection, he says.
This is where it really gets me thinking, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just about legal stuff anymore. It's about real people, real lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about people who made mistakes, yeah, but they've served their time and they're trying to, like, put their lives back together.
You're totally right. And Marshall, he really stresses that voting isn't just about, like, checking a box on a ballot.
Right.
It's about being a part of your community, having a say in the decisions that affect you. You know, it's about feeling like you actually belong.
Yeah, it's like saying, look, you messed up. We get it. You learned your lesson. But now come on back. Be part of the solution.
Exactly. And he also points out that this kind of blanket disenfranchisement, it really hits minority communities hard.
Yeah, I can see that.
And, you know, that connects to all the conversations we're having today about, like, racial justice and mass incarceration, right?
It all ties together.
Yeah, it's all connected.
We can't ignore that history. You know, how taking away the vote has been used to silence certain groups, keep them out of the conversation.
Right.
Taking away someone's right to vote just because of something they did in the past. It feels like we're trying to keep them on the sidelines. Like, their voice doesn't matter.
Exactly. And that brings us to the, like, heart of Marshall's dissent.
Okay.
His argument that the right to vote, it's like the foundation of a democracy.
Right.
And if you deny that right to anyone, the whole system gets weaker.
Yeah. I mean, if we exclude enough people, can we even call ourselves a democracy anymore?
That's the big question.
It is a big question. And, you know, it's not just some theoretical debate either.
Right.
There are real consequences to this disenfranchisement stuff. It's affecting people's lives right now.
Absolutely. It's real world stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also know there are people who feel strongly that, you know, if you commit a serious crime, that's it. You shouldn't get to vote, even after you've done your time.
That's a good point. What are some of the arguments from that side?
Well, one of the big concerns is about making sure elections are fair and trustworthy.
Right. Okay.
Some people say if you commit a serious crime, you've basically shown you don't care about the law, so you shouldn't get a say in making the laws, right?
It's like you broke the rules, so no more playing the game.
Exactly. And then there's the idea that some crimes, they're so serious that there should be, like, lasting consequences, and losing the right to vote is part of that. It's a way of showing how serious those crimes are.
So it's like this clash between, on one hand, wanting to give people second chances, but on the other, upholding the idea that actions have consequences.
You got it.
So where does that leave us?
It leaves us with a really, really complex issue.
Yeah.
There are no easy answers. Both sides have good points. And it really comes down to what you personally believe about, you know, justice, fairness, redemption, all that.
This is giving me a lot to think about. I can really see how strongly people feel on both sides. Okay, so how do we bring all of this back to our listeners? Why should they care about this case and these big debates?
Well, first of all, this isn't just some legal mumbo-jumbo happening in a courtroom far away, right?
Right.
This is affecting millions of Americans, people in their communities, maybe even people they know.
Yeah, it's real life, real consequences.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just individual rights, too. It makes us ask ourselves, what kind of society do we want? Do we believe in second chances, or do we think punishment should last forever?
Wow, those are some heavy questions. And I think this whole discussion has given us, like, the tools to start thinking about those questions, really understanding how complex this issue is.
Absolutely. We've looked at the history, the legal arguments, the bigger picture, and it's up to each person to, you know, figure out where they stand on this.
Okay, so as our listeners keep learning about this, what are some key questions they might want to consider?
One that always sticks with me is this. Does the fact that the 14th Amendment was written so long ago in such a different time, does that mean we should still uphold these laws today?
Yeah, I mean, things were so different back then.
Exactly.
We were dealing with the aftermath of slavery and the Civil War. It's hard to draw a straight line from that to now.
Right. Things change. Perspectives change. So it's worth asking, do these laws still make sense in today's world?
It really makes you think, doesn't it? And what about those arguments for and against letting people vote again after they've served their time?
Mm-hmm.
Do they reflect deeper values that we have as a society?
Absolutely. It goes right to the core of what we believe about justice and fairness. Like, what does it say about us if we permanently exclude people from participating in our democracy?
All right. What message are we sending? And on a practical level, what happens when we prevent a whole segment of the population from voting?
Yeah.
What does that do to representation, to our communities, to our democracy as a whole?
Those are the questions that keep me up at night. The fact that there are no easy answers, it's exactly why these conversations are so important.
Yeah. I feel like this case, it's like it opened up this whole Pandora's box of questions about citizenship, about equality, and what it really means to be a part of society after you've made a mistake.
You're so right. And Richardson v. Ramirez, with all its twists and turns, it gives us a way to understand not just the legal side of things, but also the moral and ethical parts of this issue.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you hope our listener takes away from all of this?
For me, it's this. The way we interpret the Constitution, it's not set in stone.
Right.
It's always changing. What might have seemed reasonable decades ago might not feel right today.
That's so important to remember. The Constitution isn't just some old document. It's a living thing.
Exactly.
And we're constantly figuring out what it means in our world today.
Absolutely. And this debate about felon voting rights, it's a perfect example of that. It's this back and forth about how to balance individual rights with what's good for society. And it forces us to ask some tough questions about what democracy really means.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's made you curious and given you a new way of looking at this really important issue. And remember, this is just the start. Keep learning, keep questioning, and keep those brain gears turning.
It was a different world back then.
Yeah.
And so it's like, are we holding on to these old ideas when maybe we shouldn't be?
It makes sense. Okay. And how about the arguments for and against restoring voting rights? I mean, do those reflect like bigger values that we have in society today?
Totally. They really get to like the heart of what we believe about justice and fairness. You know, like, what does it say about us as a society if we're like, nope, you made a mistake, you're out forever, you can't participate?
Right. Yeah. What message are we sending? And like on a practical level, what happens when we have this big chunk of the population that can't vote?
Right.
I mean, what does that do to representation?
Mm-hmm.
What about communities? What about our democracy?
Yeah, it makes you wonder about the health of our democracy overall when that happens.
It does.
I mean, these are the kinds of questions that keep me up at night. You know?
I'll bet.
And the fact that there are no easy answers, that's exactly why we need to keep having these conversations.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like this case, Richardson, it's like opening a Pandora's box, you know?
I know, right?
All these questions about what it means to be a citizen, about equality, about what it really means to be a part of society again after messing up.
Yeah, it really gets you thinking. And Richardson v. Ramirez, even with all the like back and forth and different opinions, it gives us a way to like wrap our heads around it.
Okay.
Not just the legal stuff, but the moral and ethical parts too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive here, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will like take away from all this?
For me, it's this. The way we interpret the Constitution, it isn't fixed, you know?
Right.
What made sense a while ago might not make sense now.
It's a good point. It's like the Constitution isn't some old dusty book. It's alive.
Exactly. It changes with us.
Yeah, we're figuring out what it means in our world today.
Yeah. And this whole felon voting rights thing, it's the perfect example. It's about figuring out how to balance individual rights and what's good for everyone. And it makes us ask these really tough questions about, like, what does democracy really mean at its core, you know?
Well said. Thanks for being here for this deep dive. We hope it's sparked your curiosity and given you a new way of looking at this, you know, really important issue.
Yeah, of course.
And remember, this is just the start. Keep learning, keep questioning, and keep those brain gears turning.
It's a good point. It's like the Constitution isn't some old dusty book. It's alive.
Exactly. And we're constantly figuring out what it means in our world today.
Absolutely. And this whole felon voting rights thing, it's the perfect example. It's about figuring out how to balance individual rights and what's good for everyone. And it makes us ask these really tough questions about, like, what does democracy really mean?
Yeah.
At its core, you know?
Well said. Thanks for being here for this deep dive. We hope it's sparked your curiosity and given you a new way of looking at this, you know, really important issue.
Yeah, of course.
And remember, this is just the start. Keep learning, keep questioning, and keep those brain gears turning.